That is going to cause you a little trouble.
Oops. So it's a little bit complicated technologically, but it looks that even technology honors me. Dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, it's really a big honor to be here today and have opportunity to speak on such of important matter as this is a fate of Western civilization. My today's topic is named Europe, Old and New. First of all, I must say it's not always very correct wording, because even when I am coming from so-called New Europe, looking to the history, this is not so new, but has been quite permanent part of Europe. This division comes actually from the 20th century division of Europe by the Iron Curtain, and which is still in some way existing and living in this part of the world. Because Europe, when you visit it, and even when it's sometimes still arguable where the exact the borders of Europe are, or the Western civilizations are, when you go there, you can feel these borders very clearly. It's like love. It's very hard to define, but quite easy to feel. When you see the Christian churches, when you see the historical monuments, when you see the legacy of the national movements, of the Enlightenment, of all this which is being part of the Western civilization, you really feel it. And in this context, we can really say that the big tragedy, what has happened in Europe, really started after the Second World War, when this continent and through this the Western civilization was badly divided. 1946, in Fulton, Missouri, one of the most famous European politicians of 20th century, Winston Churchill, had its remarkable speech when he declared that Europe is from this point on divided by the Iron Curtain. Afterwards, this speech is looked to be very important, very right, legendary speech. When it was made, it was highly criticized, both in the United States and in Europe. Winston Churchill was called to be a Russophile, to be against the good ally, Russia, which helped to defy the Hitler coalition and Nazism in the Second World War. He was accused to be too pessimist, and so on, so on. Nobody was actually interested on this, what Churchill actually said. And it took only some years when the West had to wake up and to see that there is actually not too big difference between the communism and Nazism. That the communism is in the same way aggressive system, and the only way to really keep the freedom in the world is to try to fight this system. Of course, there was still a lot of illusions. And even when the code was started, and the war, even its code, is always a bad thing. But it was better that it started, because I can only imagine the world when the West have not waked up. This has been a really terrible choice. So it started, but in some way, this Cold War developed in not most effective direction. The West had several possibilities to win this war, and finish with the communists quite quickly. The best chance for this was the year of 1956. We know after the death of Stalin, the Soviet system fell to the conflicts, went to the disarray, and in Central and Eastern Europe, the liberation movements, first from Poland and then in Hungary, started. It has been even not necessary to have any direct military intervention or what. It has been enough to say to the Soviets, just keep yourselves out. That was not done. That was the biggest failure of Western civilization. It was, has been absolutely possible to finish with the communism in 1956. There has been no Vietnam, no such of conflicts in the world, no terrorism, what we have seen today. There was a lack of leadership, lack of courage in this time. The West didn't look on these values. It looked on so-called realpolitik, which was actually not real, but was just very big mistake. When I was born, behind the Iron Curtain, it was year of 1960. I have lived most of my life in the other side of the Iron Curtain. And when we lived there and we looked to the world, it was really hard for us to understand what's going on. We looked on this damned Soviet system, which was so down as you can imagine, and which really was actively hated. And then we look on the West, and we never understood why the West is really sitting there and doing nothing. It was an unbelievable picture from us, and always disappointment after disappointment. And then, of course, at the end, always democracy and freedom prevails. Because even when you lack the good leaders for long, long decades, once you get them. And immediately when the West got at one moment, the group of leaders like the Pope, John Paul II, like Margaret Thatcher, and especially Ronald Reagan, everything changed. And where there's been enormous amount of scholars, scientists, political analysts, who have been declared that you couldn't crush the communists, maybe Ronald Reagan was really a simple man. But he knew one thing, one very moral thing, that values always win, and the empires will go down. And he had courage, he had leadership. And first of all, he had courage to name what he saw with their real names. This begin of the fall of the Soviet Empire began with the words of Ronald Reagan on evil empire, which was so highly criticized in the United States of America, especially in Europe, in all Western civilization, and which really opened the way for the destruction of this system. Because when you name it, you can get it. You can really destroy it. And this old understanding in different religions really worked. So, fighting this Cold War in different places, starting from the street battles in Berlin 1953, Hungary 56, Prague 68, Poland, Gdansk 1960, 1970, 1980, in Estonia 1980, the street riots. We all fought this Cold War together, and as we once did this together, we really won. That was the big victory, historical victory which changed the history of the world. And of course, the countries who have got back their freedom are really demonstrated what it means to be free, including my country. In 1992, Estonia, after 5 decades of the communist occupation was the country in ruins. We had more than 1,000% inflation. Our economy went down in this year by 30%. We had unemployment prognosis more than 30% for the coming year. Our food was rationed. The money didn't have any value in this country. So it was really absolute destruction, what the communism has created. And then we decided to be free. And we made the reforms, which maybe were not always recognized even by the Western analysts. Of course, when you are so young as I was then, becoming the first democratically elected prime minister of my country after the Second World War, then you're not listening very much to the old and wise people who are trying to explain to you that these ideas of Milton Friedman are not very good. And there were several of the Western advisors, nearly all of them, who tried to explain me this. And when I started to introduce the flat tax, one of these advisors said, "You think, young man, this is really, you'll be the first in the world who will do this." And of course, what you think, it only encouraged me. And of course, now I am not alone again anymore with the flat tax. I really lost the list of the countries who have joined the flat tax club. So it's the countries are adding to now so fast that I really couldn't follow anymore. And that has really been one part of the reforms. Among many other reforms which are made, Estonia, the real success story in the transition countries. No other country as Estonia has got such a speed in development to catching the developed world. And we can really be proud that namely the ideas of Milton Friedman on the free market has demonstrated their strength. And the really working ideas, and in every other country where they have been presented, they have given the same result. So we are free. We are moved very fast forward. We are part of West, part of European Union, part of NATO. But looking to the world, of course, I must say there has been a lot of surprises for us. First surprise, of course, what was coming from the communist dictatorship, that we have not yet understood why the world and the Western world loves the communism so much. The first real communism in my life, because even in the Soviet Union, nobody believed in communism anymore. When you wanted to make a career, you wanted to become corrupted, then you joined the Communist Party. But you never believed in communism anymore. But when I started to visit the American colleges, then I found a real communist there, and I really couldn't understand where I came. So I came out from one communist system and entering the other communist system. So it was a bad surprise. I have never understood, looking on economy, what the West is doing. The same flat tax, which looks for me so normal thing. When you think where the progressive taxation is coming, so it's coming from the Karl Marx Communist Manifesto. So the first, there were two economical demands. The first demand was the abolishment of private property, that you have not reached so far yet. But the second demand was heavy progressive taxation. And in this, the Western civilization follows the Karl Marx teaching very well, I must say, in most of your countries. Even when the President of the United States, George Bush, abroad is always ready to declare that the flat tax system is very good, I never have understood why the Congress with the Republican majority has not introduced it. And or any other tax reform which is having the bigger value. So there are a lot of surprises. It's even more what we have found that when we started to, with the preparation to really condemn the communism in the same way how was done with the Nazis in Nuremberg after the Second World War, we found not only the people who were not supportive, but we found all the Western world who were against it. and who said how you can condemn the communism in the way of Nazism. We have never seen the difference. My country was occupied during the Second World War both by the Nazis and communists. My grandfather was shot by Nazis. The grandfather of my wife was shot by communists. That's the same thing. They both killed the people and burned the books. There is no difference, and in the Second World War, one gangster, as Stalin, is not better because he tried, helped to fight another gangster, who is Hitler. It's not making this gangster in any way better. And in this context, it's really very hard to understand the attitude that communism is not so bad. I'm always wondering, looking on the streets of European capitals, the people who are marching under the red flags. I am very wondering in the United States, seeing the lot of young people who are wearing the Che Guevara t-shirts, not talking about this, such a movies which is really talking very well on this really murderer and killer. It's I found one such young man in New York in one elevator, so he couldn't escape me, and so he had to answer my question, which will be the next t-shirt or Pol Pot or Adolf Hitler, whom he will wear. And such of things is really, there is by a good reason the big problem to wear the swastika flag, but the red flag looks to be absolutely normal thing. And even more, when we're looking at the politics, to China, the biggest communist country, it looks absolutely okay that all our business is working in the communist labor conditions. These people whom we earn a lot of money, a lot of Western capitals, they are actually slaves of the communist system. There is no freedom, there is no guarantees, there is nothing. And we just look because we earn a lot of money. When we are talking about Taiwan membership in the United Nations, we suddenly all become very silent. There is by economy, and by democratic development, probably the most democratic country in Asia. No interest to support such of things which are necessary to support. And again, of course, when we're looking on even on the Western leaders seriously planning to go to the Beijing Olympics opening ceremony, of course, finding excellent excuses, the same excuses what the world had to participate in Adolf Hitler Berlin Olympics in the 36. That's something which is really coming for me, who is coming from the communist system, who I'm seeing this, what's happening there, very hard to understand. It looks that there is same naivete in us as it was there. As we are not condemned to communists, we have not even courage to call it by name very often. Sometimes we are having, and I think very good reason, by the Museum of Holocaust, I think which must be remembered and need to be remembered, but where we are not talking about the Museum of Communist Crimes in the same level, in the same way. And this, of course, connects us to the larger situation in the modern world when we're looking on the situation in Russia. Situation there remembers, we like it or not, very much the situation in Nazi Germany in 1930s. The similar marching youth organization, the personal cult, the hatred against the foreigners, closing the society, attempts to rebuild the empire, denial of history, it is all the same. And of course, it's not a beautiful picture, and it's better to try to ignore it in the same way how we have done it before. And the result, of course, can be very serious. When we ignore what's happening in Russia, that results will be the same as was at the time of starting of the Cold War. We are in the beginning of the new Cold War. We can avoid this, probably. But when we deny that it can happen or it's coming, then of course it will come. And that's one of the clear weakness of our situation, we again are very clearly missing our values. We are afraid to recognize them. We are really afraid of a lot of things. This political correctness, so-called, what we see around us, is really clearly killing the Western civilization. We are afraid of our Christian heritage. We are living like in the catacombs, the former first Christians who had to hide that they are Christians. It's even this is becoming in some parts of the world, especially unfortunately in Europe, a problem. It's denial of our Western civilization heritage, of course, is the best way really in one moment to destroy this. Because the question is not in the opposing parts. The question is not in what's happening in Russia. The question is not even what's happening in China. When the West can act together, when the West can base its politics on its values, nothing bad can happen to us. That's exactly the same way how the West won the Cold War. From the moment when the West built its strength on its values, the war was won in 10 years. And the biggest problem for me, looking for the United States, is it looks for me that the United States has not yet understood that you won the Cold War. And the role of Ronald Reagan and all his staff is not recognized in the level how it must be recognized, because these were the people who really basing its politics on the Western values, defeated the evil empire. We did this all together, and these heroes of this world and heroes of this victory, which was historical victory because it was done with significantly less planned as a lot of other victories in the world, are not recognized in the level how they must be recognized. And when we are continuing in the same way, we will reach the situation which we just reached in the Bucharest NATO summit. When the NATO summit only demonstrated the big conflicts inside of the most important union for the Western civilization. This conflict on the several questions which was seen there, and the veto which was used by the some European countries against the possible membership action plan for Ukraine and Georgia, was of course demonstrating very clearly that the West has not understood that they must work together. And when it's not understood, it's giving only the chance for the Russia, who look to be walked out from this meeting triumphantly, achieving this that the membership action plans were not given. I must say it was not so simple, thank God, because by the bad surprise of some Western powers, the new member states of European Union, and including a lot of old member states of European Union, gave a strong resistance and a strong answer on such of attempts. It was the first time when, quite united way, the countries like Germany or France and Netherlands was left alone. And that was the reason why, maybe as we didn't achieve altogether what we wanted, this is the membership action plan, we actually achieved more, giving to the declaration clear guarantees that the Ukraine and Georgia can become the member states of NATO. And the decision of their map will be moved to the lower level and will be decided during this year in December foreign minister gathering. But this conflict demonstrated in one way that the old naivete is still there, but it demonstrated from other way the strength of the other feeling. The new European countries who have seen the communism, who have seen what it means and how necessary it is to be free, are really there becoming the force who are trying to make all Europe new. In different ways, in economical reforms, in the ways to the West, and really protecting these values, what has made the Western civilization great. This we can only do together. There is no other way out of this situation. Really relying on our values, really relying on our heritage, and really having courage to name the things with the names what they have, to really having courage to make decisions, to having courage to have values and look to the future, and to protect these values when it's necessary. Let's have this courage, let's work together, and we can really give to the Western civilization good future. Thank you.